Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly Persuasion and Influence Call. Today is Wednesday, August 29th. My name is Kurt Mortensen. This is where we spend a little time together to talk about some influence and persuasion and negotiation techniques. And then we're here to answer your questions, give you homework, and help you just kind of get past some of the roadblocks you're facing in the world of persuasion and communication. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about communication and how to communicate to win. Today, I want to focus on how do you handle the heckler? What is a heckler? Now, a heckler will make or break you, that is for sure. This could happen one-on-one. This could happen in the boardroom. This could happen in front of bankers. This could happen in a large group meeting. This could happen cold calling. This could happen over the phone. This could happen knocking on the door. You're going to find people that will heckle you. Who wants to define heckler? What does it mean? What is a heckler?
Someone who annoys.
Okay, one that annoys, one that rubs you the wrong way. Is that the type of person that might want to make you look bad?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So let's talk about heckling. Now, what it could be is, again, someone trying to annoy you, make you look bad. The way you handle a heckler will make or break you. Sometimes it's out of pure venom. They want to make you look bad. A lot of heckling, though, is just out of cluelessness. The way I rate it, if someone's on a cell phone or a crying baby or anything like that, that could be heckling. In fact, in the political world, they actually call it bracketing. They send people to heckle. Some people it helps, some people it hurts. It depends on how you handle it. I think it goes back to our childhood and asking ourselves, why do people heckle? So when you were growing up, why did you tease your brothers and sisters? Or neighbors. What was your goal? Whether you knew it or not.
Get a reaction.
Get a reaction. Your goal was to get a reaction. If nobody reacted to your teasing, you just stopped. They are heckling you. Because think about it. If you've ever been in an audience and someone from the audience threw a real zinger at the speaker, you're kind of sitting back as an audience going, yeah, I wonder what they're going to do next. It's kind of fun as an audience. Not so fun when you're the speaker, but again, the way you handle that's important. I think one of the famous examples is Ronald Reagan was being heckled for his age. His opponent said, look, you're old. And he just smiled and said, you know what, I'm not going to make my opponent's youth and inexperience an issue in this race. And everybody smiled, everybody laughed, and they moved on. Because if you look tense, if you look mean, if you look like it's bothering you, if you expose your middle finger, you have lost your audience. That's the reality. So this is important to understand how your audience is going to react to you. Now, for the most part, your audience is on your side. If someone gets way out of control, they're going to support you, and they're there for a reason. They're paying with their time or their money. But you have to be very careful not to slam a heckler. For example, if a young lady has a baby that's crying, and maybe she can't hear it, she's immune, it's bothering the whole audience, and as a presenter, you just go up to her and you yell, well, shut the baby up! It's driving everybody nuts! Now, you think about that for a second. I said what you were thinking, but now I'm the bad person. There are different ways to handle this. A lot of the times, the audience can handle it. But be very careful not to slam anybody. I remember talking to a presenter. He was talking to a large corporate audience. There was an elderly gentleman, drunk, was heckling. He says, why don't you leave? You're not listening anyway. And this gentleman left, and so did everyone else because it was the CEO. Have to be careful. I remember doing a webinar once with, it was over 100 people. And this lady, right in the beginning, in the first 5-10 minutes, very vindictive, very venomous, said, you know what, I speak for the whole class. When I don't want to hear what you're talking about right now. I want to talk about this. Now, my natural reaction was to slam her, to put her in her place. But if you do that, whether it's one-on-one, whether you do that in front of a group, you lose all credibility. So what I did was very simple. I said, I appreciate your input. Class, what do you think? So I terped it over to the class, and guess what they said?
Kirk, continue on.
Yeah, they said, no, Kirk, continue on, but they also called her the B word. There was some profanity there, and they told her to hang up and never come back. Which, I wanted to say that too, but I couldn't. But she did hang up, and it was great for everyone. But again, but when you're in charge, when you're the presenter, you can't say that. I remember giving a presentation once, and there's this man there with this young girl, and they were kind of flirting, and I didn't know any better. And then the wife showed up. Yeah. And she was mad and yelling and screaming and everything. And you have to think, okay, how are you going to handle that? Because when there's a fire alarm or something goes wrong, people are going to look to the presenter. And the only way I could handle that situation was to look at him and have him leave the room, and of course she followed. But it could be a variety of things, from cell phones to people talking too loud to asking the wrong questions. And so we're going to really help you understand how to do this. And it happens quite a bit one-on-one. And even in the corporate world, do you think coworkers will heckle you to try to make you look bad? Is that possible?
Absolutely, sure. All the time.
All the time. Yeah. And the way you handle that will make or break you. So let's go over some stages of heckling, some different ways you can handle the heckler. And to help you realize that heckling is more likely to happen if they don't like you, or they want their deal to look better, they might want to make you look bad. Also, if you ever speak in the evening time, I know a lot with network marketers and others do these late night meetings, hecklers come out more in the evening. They come out more if there's a lot of alcohol served, especially if there's a free bar. A heavy dinner like steak and gravy will bring them out. They will be there, and it will happen. I was actually talking to a student at a university, and she's telling about a professor. And this student was heckling the professor. And the professor was turning red, and the professor finally said, "Look, you're wrong because of this, this, and this." And the student just sat back. You know, the student was just playing with her. And the student sat back and says, "Geez, don't have a cow." And the professor lit up and says, "I don't have a cow. I'm a full PhD, and you're nothing. I'll always be smarter than you." Now, whether that's true or not, it really doesn't matter, because now in the eyes of the class, how do they look at this professor?
He kind of looks like a jerk.
A jerk, no credibility. Wasn't professional. And whether it's true or not, it didn't matter. Whether he deserved it or not, didn't matter. You're persuaders, you're in control, it's not getting to you. And of course, every time they went to this class, they all remember this moment, and it tainted the whole semester. So a heckler could be venomous comments. You know, how you handle those, which could be an attack on you or your ideas or your mom. You're in control, and it's not bothering you. So let's go through some stages here. Stage one is just a minor heckle. What could be happening here? Maybe they're on their cell phone. Maybe they're throwing some tough questions at you. Maybe they resent you for what you're trying to do and go back to kind of kicking the dog. Again, most heckling is clueless. And so if it's the first time and not that big of a deal, you smile, you look at them, and you just ignore it. Because if it's a clueless heckle, they'll probably realize, especially those with social filters will realize that they're annoying, or their cell phone bothered everybody, or if they fell asleep, their snoring's bothering everyone. You just smile and can ignore it. Or at this time, you can respond with humor, because humor's your best friend here, because that shows that it's not bothering you. It gets the audience to smile and laugh. Now, you don't want to necessarily throw them a zinger and throw them under the bus, but a little humor about the situation can go a long way. Remember, they're teasing you. They want attention, and they want a reaction. And just take it. Smile. And if it's really way out in left field, just kind of ignore it. Exercise control. But for the most part, I'd say almost probably 78% of the time, that's all you need to do, is let them know, you know, that wasn't appropriate, kind of with a smile or with your eyes, respond with some humor, and then it's not getting to you. Now, if that doesn't work, you can go to stage two. Stage two, they're getting a little more aggressive. And what can you do? Now, a big part when you get stage two, when they're getting a little more aggressive, is one thing that does increase heckling is when they're anonymous. And you want to reduce anonymity here. Okay? Have them introduce themselves, what company they're from, what their name is. That will reduce heckling. When they're anonymous out there, a lot of times it's much easier for them to heckle. Another thing you can do with them is pull them aside at the break. If you need to take a break, or pull them aside and say, is there something I've done wrong? You're obviously upset with me. What's going on? Have a talk. And for most people, that's enough to get it out in the open, and they could just kind of vent, and you can respond to whatever it is. Sometimes in stage two, you can let them know that you're listening to what they're saying. You can let them vent if it doesn't distract the whole audience. And one thing you can do here, if you know you're going to a meeting or to some place where there's going to be a heckler, you can ask somebody to make sure they're not going to be there, because they could hurt the whole presentation, and that's a possibility. Now, every once in a while, you might get to stage three where they're very aggressive, and this is where the audience doesn't like this person anymore, so it doesn't really matter if you slam them here. You might want to confront them. You might want to call security, but you have to make sure the audience is on your side. You can look at the spouse sometimes, but you probably won't need that so much. I mean, the main thing I want to talk about here is you're in control. It's not getting to you. When you go to somebody's home and it's going into foreclosure, they'll probably throw zingers at you. They'll probably heckle you. At a bank, or again, in the corporate world, this is happening all over the place. What about family reunions? Is that possible?
Yeah.
It's a self-esteem sometimes. It's a self-esteem thing sometimes where if they push you down, they feel better about themselves. I've said it time and time again, especially in negotiation, you're checking your ego in at the door. They have issues. Don't let them make their issues your issues. It's not getting to you. Even if it does, don't show them. That's what they want, because if you show them that it's getting to you, it will definitely increase. And there's, of course, some things you'd never, ever want to say to a heckler. Something like, well, you wouldn't understand. Which you're basically saying is, you're stupid, right? That's not going to help out the situation. Or you might say, well, it's none of your business. What does that mean to them? It's none of your business. And it cuts them off. It kind of puts them on the outside. That doesn't help at all. Another one that's bad is, well, what do you want me to do about it? That's kind of a cop-out. That's sarcastic. One of the worst ones that I've heard is, well, why don't you calm down? What does that say to people?
You're getting rowdy and you're getting crazy.
Yeah, they're out of control. It's not something, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. Whether it makes you feel better about things, it doesn't matter. One thing we hear, too, is people say, well, what's your problem? Why are you so angry? Why are you losing it? It's not going to help the situation. And another one is why don't you be reasonable? Tell them that they're irrational, out of control, or not being reasonable are all part of understanding hecklers. As a presenter, again, whether it's one-on-one, in the boardroom, in front of a group, you're in control. If something goes wrong, they're going to blame you. I've had, and we could talk about some different things here, but I've had, and you'll see these too, a baby crying, somebody having a heart attack, fire alarm going off. If the coffee's bad or the food's bad, who are they going to blame?
You.
Right? You got it. If the temperature is too hot or too cold, they're going to blame you. If somebody's talking on a cell phone, they're going to come to you. Remember, you are in control. When that fire alarm goes off, or I've had a lot of strange things happening. When you do presentations in a hotel, wow, I've had a polka band next door. I've had a beautiful room overlooking the garden, but then a wedding starts. It's hard to keep people's attention. I remember teaching an event in San Francisco, and this beautiful young lady comes in this bikini. Everyone just turned. She's all, "Hey, can I learn?" "Oh, sure, come on in." I don't know what you say to that. But things will happen. Things will go wrong, and that's okay. Not that you want it to happen. I don't think I've ever given a perfect presentation, had everything go perfectly, and that's going to be true for you. You go with the flow. You go with the punches. You go with your audience. Some audiences are easier than others. Some are really hard. When I talk to a group of stockbrokers, do you think they're easier or harder than a group of network marketers?
Harder.
Much harder. Much different. They're not going to respond as much. They're not going to laugh as much. They're not going to ask me more questions, and that's okay. You still do your best. You need to learn how to deal with those difficulties. Keep things in perspective. Don't get flustered. The bulbs are going to burn out. Your PowerPoint's going to freeze. If you're using a PowerPoint, you always keep an extra printout because it will freeze. It will crash. The bulbs will go out. Don't get upset. Don't get flustered. You just keep things in perspective. And remember that they're just not going to listen with their whole heart and minds every time. You have to compete with the environment, the temperature, the national mood, or the national news. It could even be the contents of their stomach. Maybe they're hungry. Maybe they're upset. Maybe they can't hear you. Maybe they're on drugs. Maybe they're hormones like teenagers. Maybe I've had jackhammers going off outside. It could be a lack of ventilation, maybe a phone ringing, things going wrong. All these things could happen. So you need to make sure that you give them breaks every probably at least 60 minutes. Because you probably heard the phrase before that the mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. We heard that before. They might need caffeine. They might need a cigarette. They might need to go to the restroom. That does affect their ability to concentrate, to listen to you. Because if they can't listen, if they can't pay attention, they're very difficult to persuade. I remember doing a presentation. This was really early in my career, and I had a bad slot. It was a group of, I think, of about 1,000 chiropractors, and my slot was during dinner. Do you think that was a difficult presentation?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to compete with roast beef and clanking, and they're talking. They want more food and get drinks, and the waiter's walking around. And you do the best you can. It's better than nothing. But you have to control your environment. You have to deal with the difficulties. The main lesson here, doesn't matter what aspect of influence it is, one-on-one, over the phone, at their door, boardroom, in groups, people will heckle you. And the way you deal with their questions, their objections, their venom, their zingers will go a long way. Because if they can get under your skin, make you upset, get a reaction, you're going to get more and you've lost your ability to influence. So you have to just smile, use a little humor, don't let it get to you, and you'll see a big difference in your ability to influence. Especially when you're dealing with highly emotional issues, highly emotional negotiations, you will see more heckling. Because remember with negotiation that the person that strikes first admits their ideas have given out. And so when they strike at you or say, "Well, that's not fair of you," or make fun of your mother, or just they don't know what to do next. They get very emotional. Remember, when you get emotional, the blood leaves the brain. That also increases heckling. So what I want you to work on is very simple this week. Don't let anyone push your buttons in any situation. You stay in control. Keep all emotional control. So when you stay in control, it's not bothering you and you're keeping your emotions in check. If you really want to get brave, put yourself in a situation that does make you tense or be around someone that does push your buttons. Now, you're doing it because if you can do it in that situation, when you're in an intense negotiation or you're at someone's door or over the phone or in a group, it'll be much easier to do it in that situation when you've done it before. Remember, when you need to persuade someone, it's too late to learn. When you need to stay in control, you need to learn how to do that. So I know you have family members that push your buttons. I know you have coworkers that push your buttons. Put yourself in the situation. Have a little fun with it. Let them throw their zingers at you. Let them do this. And you're going to notice that after a while they're not going to do it, but it's going to teach you to stay in control. You're not showing emotions. You're not getting angry. And that's a skill of power persuaders, especially those that present and communicate for a living. Your ability to handle a heckler is a big, big part of your success. Any questions about what we talked about today?
No.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, what type of heckling do you think you see in a negotiation process?
Negotiations.
Not compromising.
People who constantly question.
Not compromising, or you might see things like this where they'll say things, well, you know, you're the millionaire and you're going to make money out this, and that's, you're taking advantage of me. That's a form of heckling. They're trying to make their problem your problem.
Yeah.
And you're in control.
But they're asking like excessive questions and making like and saying, well, what about this? Well, what happens if we do that? And this, that, and the other thing. And it's not necessarily relevant to what's going to happen.
Okay, good. Excessive questions, or even questions that aren't relevant. They might try to throw you off. I mean, I've actually seen this. So they're like, well, tell me about this, and how long you lived there, and why did you move, and did you ever take drugs, and what's your sexual orientation? And you're like, whoa. And some people are just back to the corner. They start answering it, but they're doing that to gain control, to manipulate a little bit. And it's like, whoa, and that has nothing to do with this. Here are the issues. This is what we're talking about. Even though it might upset you, you're not showing it you're in control. They're trying to push your buttons. When you know they're trying to push your buttons, it's easier not. When you know that in your brain, it's easier to stay in control through the situation. Especially in the boardroom, it's amazing how many coworkers just slaughter each other because of the competition and making them look bad. And people with low self-esteem, it's easier for them to push you down than to pull everyone up. And that's how they act, and you know people like that. And even if it hurts your feeling, again, you're not showing it, didn't get to you. You're in control, because a lot of emotions get thrown in a negotiation situation.
Yeah,
they might.
I just have a question for people who are on the call. Have some of you guys ever been heckled when you have to present or something like that?
Like in a group situation?
Yeah, in other words, whenever there's going to be, like, a group situation, sometimes, or, like, a general meeting, as you would be speaking, people would be rude and interrupt you. You know what I'm saying? Is that another form of heckling?
Oh, absolutely. That happens to me every time I present. You know, whether it be a three-day seminar or an hour and a half. In fact, at the local university, one of the courses I teach is public speaking and, you know, persuasive presentations. And one of the things that I do, which is unique to me, is at the very last speech of the year, I bring in a heckler from the National Heckling Federation. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist, but they believe it, which is all that matters. And so I teach them how to do it. I said, look, this will happen. And they all agree it's one of the best speeches because they can handle it. They have fun. There's humor. Everyone's laughing. And it's a skill that's critical. No one really ever teaches that. But, I can't think of a time when I'm not heckled. It could be the person that asks too many questions. It could be the person in the back that falls asleep. It could, for me, I see this all the time. For example, if I'm doing a three-day event on real estate or negotiation, and I have this room full of exciting people, but then I have this husband, they're all excited to take notes, and right next to him is this spouse that is giving me the look of death. Okay, that I am the SOB, and that's not my fair. My husband invested this money, and I'm going to make your life miserable. Look, I don't know if you've seen that before, but I've seen it many times.
Yeah,
and I like it because I get to win her over. I get her make her the biggest fan of what we're talking about. I get her to get to like me, and at the end, that's what happens. We get them there, but if you let that get to you, you have to be very careful. And understand too that you can give a perfect presentation. So I have 100 people in the audience, and I just hit a home run. I'll guarantee you 20 people will come up and say, good job, changed my life. But then there'll be one person. No matter how good I do, what are they going to say? They're going to say something negative. Yeah, well, you know, I didn't learn anything new. And you know, your one slide, you could have said a little bit better. I think I saw a misspelling. You know? And when I first started, it was, you know, the ratio is 20 to 1, which is pretty good. But the brain, the way we're set up, we don't remember the 20 positive. What do we remember?
Yeah, the one negative.
The one negative. And, you know, we got to get past that, and it does hurt, especially when you put yourself in front of an audience. I mean, you're putting your heart and soul on the line, and you're doing the best you can. But you know, some people are gonna do that, and it goes back to, if you have a nicer car than someone, they might key it. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not fair. It's not right. But there's some people that way, and you can't let it get to you because we're out there. We're making the world a better place. We're doing the best we can. And life's too short for us to get all sucked up in there and anger. Because when you get angry, in fact, I like the way it was explained to me, is getting angry is like taking poison and hoping that it hurts your enemy.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, they probably didn't mean it. And second of all, if they are trying to make you angry, that's even a better reason not to get angry.
Yeah.
Emotional mastery, emotional control is a big piece of success.
Kurt, I have a question. How do you handle heckling if you're a if you're like a singer or an actor and you're on stage? Because actually, believe it or not, about a year or so ago, I was on America's Got Talent, the TV show, and I had to basically do my rendition after getting three buzzes from the judges and like a real heckling audience of thousands of people, like, you know, giving you a thumbs down and a boo. So I mean, talk about heckling. How do you deal with that kind of stuff?
You know, with the smile or humor. You know, if they're throwing a zinger at you, that's the best you can do. I mean, you look what happened to you remember Kramer on Seinfeld? What's his name? Richard? Richard, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was heckled at a comedy club. Remember what happened?
No.
He was heckled. He pulled out the N-word. He ripped on these people, and it's pretty much he hasn't done anything since. It's ruined his career for 5 years.
Right.
So the worst thing is, now, because you say when they're heckling, like, ooh, you know, hey, that was a good one. You know, if the baby's crying, saying, man, I'm being heckled by a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to say things like, well, I wish my IQ was lower so I could understand that. It's not the type of fight you want to get into.
Right.
You know, I would smile and say, ooh, that was a good one. Man, 10 points.
Yeah,
we got a better one? You know, you just bring it on.
Yeah. Hey, Kurt, actually, one of the comebacks that I had to use was when Sharon Osbourne asked me what I did for a living, I actually said to her, I said, Sharon, I said, my living is superstar to be. I said, my living is success story. And then Piers Morgan chimed in saying, well, this economy, that's a scary thing. I said, yeah, Piers, but that's a discussion for another day and another time. Come on. And everybody applauded.
Yeah, applaud, humor. The big thing is didn't get to you. So if you can smile and say, man, that was a good one. Hey, give me you got one better than that, you know, or if open up the audience. Ooh, does anyone have anyone better?
That's really good.
The best way to handle that, you bet. I mean, even though you feel the opposite and you've got your heart on your sleeve, that's the way I do it.
Yeah.
How about if you're in a one-on-one and they're suspicious of you in the first place, and so they kind of won't let you really get into your presentation. They're heckling at you right off the bat.
Yeah, and that's absolutely going to happen quite a bit. So you're at their door, and they're saying, how dare you knock my door? Hey, I'm going through this and going through that. And he says, you know, you're right. I deserve it. I deserve that. And a lot of people have knocked the door deserve it more than I do. But you know what? I have three ways where I can save your home. I'm here to help you out. That's why I'm here. And I can understand why you're angry and upset. And, you know, I'd be in the same shoes, or that's how I used to feel. That's how I felt when it happened to me, or that's a common reaction. Didn't get to you. And then they realize, hey, this is a real person. Because most of the people that go into their door yell back, get angry, say something stupid. Well, you can go to hell and lose your house anyway. See what I care. I mean, really, is that persuasive? I mean,
no.
But that's the natural human reaction. Well, how dare they say that? I'm trying to help them. They're the morons, you know. It's like, no. So, yeah, just take it. Mm-hmm. And if they get angry, would you say, you know, I apologize, even if it's not your fault? You know, apology is cheap. I apologize. That wasn't my intent. I'm sorry. I'm here, and this is what I'm trying to do. And that's what makes the difference.
Perkins, Maryland.
Yeah.
I once saw the most brilliant heckling during a negotiation I think I've ever seen. And the one man in the negotiation suddenly clutched his chest and his head and said, "What are you trying to do? Are you trying to make me kill my business, put me in bankruptcy?" And went on and on and on. And it was a thing of beauty. I don't know how I would have handled it. But,
you'll see that. You definitely see that. Or I think I'm going to have a heart attack. Or what are you trying to do? Take food out of my children's mouth? You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Smile. Say no. We'll leave a little bit for your children. You know, and just have some fun with it. And that's the key.
To deal with that with humor, do you?
Oh yeah. Just kind of smile. Now, if they're the type of person that they're really angry and they're not going to laugh and they never smiled before, you just say, "Well, you know, that's not the case, but you know, I can understand maybe why you're seeing that." Or you can say, "Well, obviously that's not the case, but let's talk about the facts here. Let's get back to the facts and let's get this done. You're in control." All right, great call today. Next week we're going to focus more on how you handle people's questions and objections in a situation like that. Again, this week, put yourself in a situation. Go to that family member or that coworker that pushes your button, put yourself in that situation, go out to lunch with them. You're in control, and that puts you in charge, and that gives you the power position in persuasion. All right?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank
everyone
you.
Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
You
good
too.
Night, everyone.
Hey,
good night.
Yeah.
Hey. I just have a quick question. This starts usually at 7 o'clock. Is that right?
What's that?
The call usually starts at 7 o'clock?
This call starts at 7 o'clock Eastern, yeah.
Eastern, right. Oh, okay, because, and does it usually go for like a half hour, or is it sometimes 45
we
minutes?
We do. Our goal is to go 15, 20 minutes on a tool, give you homework, and then open up for questions.
Okay, no problem. So I have to start writing it down, because it's only my second week on the call. I just want to make sure that I get as much out of it as I can.
And you can always go to recording.advancedinfluence.com if you want to hear the recordings, too.
Okay, thanks so much, Kurt.
You bet. Have a good one.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.